Good morning and welcome into Peach Talk. This is our town. I'm Chris Johnson, your host, and in the studio with me this morning, we've got the Honorable High Sheriff, John Sherry. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Appreciate you coming in this morning and talking with us a little bit about some things going on Peach Talk. This is our town. We just kind of talk about different things in our community on Peach Talk, and things are going on in our town and our community, and you're a big part of what's going on around our community because you keep things in order going along, or that's your responsibility.
We try to.
Whether you can do that or not, it's another question. But anyway, tell us a little bit about yourself to start with. Where you're originally from, and some history of your family and so forth, and let the folks get to know you a little better.
I'm originally from Autauga County, grew up in Autauga County, moved up here, I guess, when I was 16 years old. Been here for a good long while now. Married my wife, Lisa Willis Sharon. She's originally from Clinton. She's lived here all her life. We've got three children, Ashley, Paul, and raising our niece April. Got two grandchildren here now, and one more on the way, son-in-law Matt and daughter-in-law Kerrigan. So started my career here in Chilton County in 1996 as an unpaid Sheriff's Reserve member. Done that for 3 years prior to getting into law enforcement in 1999. I went to the academy. In 99, I graduated and went to work in 1999 for Sheriff Fulmer. And, been in law enforcement ever since then. Done a little of everything, patrol, investigations, admin. Now I'm serving my third term as Sheriff of Chilton County. I greatly appreciate everybody's support. It's just been an honor, being elected by the people. That's one of the biggest honors you can have, is people think enough of you to put their much trust in somebody to do the job. And that's something I don't take lightly. I mean, I'll try to live up to that each and every day that I come to work. Making sure everybody's taken care of, making sure the people has got somebody they can come and sit down and talk to. I made the comment this morning, it ain't all about putting people in jail. A lot of times I end up
talking. It's about keeping people out of jail.
It's about keeping people out of jail and trying to help them, because a lot of people just have a lot of problems. And, you try to help them best way you possibly can. And some of it don't even revolve around criminal activity or whatever. I mean, it's just problems they might have, they need guidance on. And that's one of the things that I try to be, is somebody that'll give them a willing ear to listen to them and try to help them with their problem. If I can't help them, I hopefully I can point them in the right direction to somebody that can, somebody else that that's their job, whatever. We got a great bunch of people, elected officials, and people that work in Chilton County, and they're all that same way. They'll try to help anybody they possibly can. So,
well, it's a lot better to have somebody on the right path, out of jail, being a productive citizen in society, than it is having them in jail me and you having to pay for it.
That's exactly right, and that's what we try to do, is, if we can deter anybody from getting on that wrong path, because that wrong path can take you down a quick, slippery slope, to a place you don't want to be. And that's what we're trying to do now, is it starts at home, with the discipline there. Our grandson, he gets his little share spankings, and but that's where it starts, is training him up and to be a productive adult. And that's kind of what you want to do with this. And some people make wrong decisions. There's a lot of people out there that's on drugs that made a bad decision. They're not bad people. They just made a bad decision. And, that's what we try to do, is, get them back on the right path and, let them hopefully become a productive citizen,
Well, one of the things that you're charged with as sheriff is the jail, the correction facility.
That is correct.
Here in the county.
That's one of the biggest jobs of the sheriff.
That's a handful in itself to operate that jail. And with the court system this day and time, you've got people in the county jail that actually you're having hows there that they're supposed to be somewhere else, but there's nowhere else for them to go. So.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, it's the county jails have become the correctional facilities, the prison systems, pretty much of the state of Alabama, because we house a lot of them. I mean, a lot of times people don't understand this, and I just get so fighting mad about it a lot of times. I've got people EOSing, ending their sentence from prison, and they haven't even seen prison. They're still in the county jail, or they're bouncing around from county jail to county jail
and have served the entire term.
They're already eligible for parole, and they've never been to prison. And it's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life.
And then your full house down there.
Exactly. Well, that problem gets dumped back on the taxpayers of Chilton County.
And then if you got a nice facility like we do at the Chilton County Jail, then they just fill that one up because it can have it. I guess every county that's got a facility pretty much across the state is like the same as you are in Chilton County Jail.
They are overrun. I mean, you know, usually we average probably around 230 or better now, and that's about our capacity. We have redone the jail best we could, added more bunks and stuff like that, and got it up, because to start with, when the jail was built, I want to say it was like a 169 bed jail. Well, you know, down through just moving bunks around and stuff like that, we were able to add more bunks to it, and I think we're at like 232 now. But it usually stays somewhere thereabouts, you know, pretty well full.
So no vacancy signs
No vacancy signs at the jail, but, you know, we still put them in jail left and right. I mean, you know, that's COVID. COVID was a little different animal, you know, because we had to set things aside, you know, our COVID cells to try to keep that problem down. And we did for the most part, you know, my people jumped on that in the beginning and, you know, got ahead of that. So we had that corrected, which, you know, a lot of the situations we had that, you know, it made things a little harder, but, you know, if people really needed to go to jail, we tried to save it for the ones that really needed to go to jail. Non-traffic citations were issued, you know, for the ones just misdemeanor stuff like that, but, you know, the ones that needed to go to jail, they needed to go to jail, and they went to jail.
And one of the problems we were talking before we went on is what's the terminology for the act of the point system deal?
The Prison Reform Act, which is a situation that the federal government is basically sent us a ugly letter saying that they're going to come in and take over the state prison system because of a lot of the mental health and a lot of the overcrowding and different things like that. Well, it's done a lot of good as far as cleaning the prisons out. The only problem is a lot of those people are living next door to us. And they're back doing the same thing that got them into the position that they were in to start with. And that's just like a never-ending thing that we have no control over, because when you're in court and, you know, they know they're not going to prison for it, what are they going to do? It's just, like you do a child. If you don't discipline that child, they're going to grow up and see what they can get away with, and same way with adults.
Yeah, yeah. Don't get cookies out of that cookie jar, doesn't work.
Exactly.
There's got to be some consequences to the actions.
That's exactly right.
And some of the laws have got your hands tied.
They do.
That y'all go arrest them, take them to court, and they wind up not even with a good slap on the back of the hand, right. And they're back out doing the same thing again. And I know it's the district attorney office is having a time with, you know, they get people prosecuted, mm-hmm. and convicted, but they don't have the points required or hadn't done whatever the criteria is to actually go to prison. So
that is a frustrating cycle for all of us. I mean, I can hear my investigators or patrol, whatever, back there stomping and kicking and everything else when they pull something out of their box. Basically, they've worked on a case, a long drawn out case, maybe for a couple of years, and they get sentenced to probation, because that's all during this process, that's all they're eligible for because of the point system. And the point system, I mean, it's set up that you know, unless you're a violent offender, they don't go to prison. Yeah. And that's, like I said, it's working great for the prison system, but it ain't working too good for the communities,
working
the counties.
Great for the prison system, working great for the criminals, but not for the general public.
That's exactly right.
And that's something that's got to be some work done on legislative-wise. And there's some good things in that bill that passed. So some people say, well, just repeal the whole bill. Well, that would mess things up just as bad as what it is
exactly
now.
That's exactly right.
From what I understand.
Well.
Let's change hats over to another little subject that I'm sure you get a lot of calls on, and that's all the scams going around. This day and time, there's somebody, every time something happens, somebody's trying to scam you out of something. What's the latest scams going on?
There's just so many of them, I can't keep track of them. I mean, that's their main thing, is try to separate you from your money. I mean, you got the Publisher's Clearinghouse. You know, you've won $1 million. You know, you've got to pay $2,500 in taxes. Go to Walmart, put it on a Google Play card or whatever, and, you know, call me back, let me know. You give them the number, they suck the money off of it. They just got $2,500 from you, and you're not getting nothing. And, I mean, from that to...
Publishers Clearinghouse does not call you on the phone, or they do not send you an email.
That's exactly right.
They come knock on your door.
The IRS, same thing. You know, you're delinquent on your taxes. You owe $5,000. Send us the money, and we'll take care of it. The IRS don't do phone calls. You know, there's just so many of them out there. We had one that they're getting a little more creative with what they do. I remember when Judge Bobby Martin was still a probate judge, I remember a family coming to my office, and they had probably a 17, 18-year-old girl. And they had called and told her that, you know, they had a warrant for her arrest. The sheriff's office had a warrant for her arrest. Or Judge Martin just issued a writ of arrest for her. And, you know, Shannon Brown, his chief clerk, was walking it around to the sheriff's office. Well, they're making it more realistic.
Oh, yeah.
They find out the actual names of the people in the court system. They actually find out the real names. But you can Google our website, and you can look on there, and you can tell, you know, who the people are in the office, name them by name, and it makes it more realistic, and people are more active to fall for that. We don't want, when it comes to something like that, we don't want your money. We're coming after you because there is a warrant after you, for you. We come after you to satisfy that warrant. We don't ask for money. So, you know,
somebody calls you up and says, John Sharon, the sheriff's on his way with a warrant for you, but if you go to Walmart and buy a $250 gift card and call me back, we can get that delayed till you can get in and check on it or whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Then you run to Walmart and get the gift card and call them back with the number, and there's your $250 is gone and nothing to any of it. So
they had one that my daughter-in-law, her granddaddy, come in, and he was all upset because he heard that she'd been in an accident, and they said she needed to have a surgery or whatever. And, you know, he knew me, so he knew to come to me, and I told him, I said, I'm glad you come to me. I said, this is a scam is all it is. If you have something like that, if somebody calls and says, you know, your loved one's been taken into custody, or if they got to have a surgery, the first phone call you need to make is to that person.
Yes.
To verify. And none of it's going to be real, but you put your mind at ease when you talk to that person that, you know, they're okay. They're not arrested. They're not needing to have surgery. And it just calms them down, and they understand. But that's what they want. They play on your emotions.
And the older people they can get a hold of, the
they prey on the elderly, because they're not as computer savvy as anybody else is. And that's what they prey on. And if they get one person out of 10, they got free money.
Well, if you make 10 phone calls and you try to get $500 out of each of them, and you get one out of that,
that's
$500. And
that's exactly
you may have spent
right.
an hour, so $500 an hour is not
a bad
paycheck.
That's pretty good money.
For a crook.
Pretty good money.
But I know there's a lot of people that, and here's another problem that we have with today's social media, is you've got people, well, you know, they'll post on, so we're having a great time at the beach, or we're at the beach. And then the next thing you know, Grandpa gets a call that oh, such and such broke down at the beach and somebody stole their wallet and exactly identification, right. and you need to send them $1,000 so we can get them home. And, you know, they wanted us to contact you and you know, and go get this gift card and give me the number. And there it goes again.
They do those things all the time. I mean, they're steadily evolving. I mean, one scam turns into another and they can tweak it a little bit and throw it back out there and do different things. I mean, it's just crazy. Main thing is verify. If it's something with the sheriff's office, something, you know, courthouse or city or whatever, contact them and talk to them before you do anything, because most of the time this stuff is going to be a scam.
Well, and if you ask them, one way, surefire way, just about on about 90% of them, if you say, can you give me a telephone number that I can call you back at?
That's exactly
they
right.
They can't give you a number. They won't give you a number. They'll that's dance right. around it. And won't. There's no way you can call me back, nope. whatever. When that's the first red flag.
That's exactly right.
If they can't
right.
give you a number that you can hang up and call them mm-hmm. back on, then 99.999% mm-hmm. is going to be a scam.
But most of the time when, you know, it's going to be something local, you can pick up the phone and you can call that local agency or whatever and verify what you need to verify before you, because you don't need to send anybody anything or, you know, anything like that, because that's what they're trying to do is just get your money.
A lot of them try to scam you out of, and I'm sure y'all run into this a lot, is they try to get that personal information from you.
That's exactly
right. They want to get that mother's maiden name.
That's it.
And they want to get the last 4 years social.
That's right.
They want to get your birthday. Mm-hmm. And when they've got the last 4 years social and your mother's maiden name and birthday, 90% of the time they can get into your credit card if they've mm-hmm. put the credit card number up somewhere where you've used your credit card.
I see it. I mean, identity theft is a growing thing today. I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, everybody's trying to scam people out of money and whatever little bit of information they can get to use your identity, they're going to do.
And once that happens, it's hard to recover from it.
It really
and,
is.
And some of the later scams, I understand people actually selling your property. In other words, they'll go, I'll sell you property, record a deed, mm-hmm. and you've never have even talked about selling property.
I've yet to hear about any of that stuff here in Chilton County, but yes, it is. That is a growing thing.
Growing across country.
That is a growing thing. It really has been. You brought up something a while ago, too, about, you know, posting from the beach.
Worst thing you can do.
That's the worst thing you can do. When you're on vacation and you're having fun, taking pictures and stuff like that, you know, I'm very vocal with my family about that. You do not post anything until we're back home. Then you can post all you want to, because that's all people need to see, that you're at the beach enjoying time. I'm going to be down here for a week, and it's just an open invitation for somebody to come break in your house. Don't ever post anything like that.
If not the first picture, every other picture you post needs to be a big hefty guy with tattoos all over him holding an AK-47 standing on your front porch and thanks to my security guard for watching right. while we're at the beach.
That's exactly right. But just try not to post anything like that until you're back where, you know.
That's just about saying we're gone, come break into
it. It is. Just an open invitation is all it is.
And it's dangerous, too, if you are out of town and you left a family member at home even.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, the bad guy thinks, well, they're at the beach, and they go break in. Then they're breaking in what they think is an empty house, and they wind up with a child there or something, you know,
that's exactly
and
right.
And then you've got them in a danger mm-hmm. because these people, they don't have good sense. They wouldn't be breaking in to start with.
And they're thinking nobody's going to be at home. So, you know, it puts you in a bad spot when you're there by yourself, yes.
It is. So many things this day and time that you have to watch out for.
It is.
Because there's folks that just spend all their time, like you said, trying to figure out how to separate you from your money or your property or whatever else. Well, we touched on the fact of drugs. Let's talk about drugs in our county just a little bit. Still one of the major problems, I guess, that you have to deal with in Sheriff's Department.
It's one of the biggest things that we fight and deal with every day. I mean, things are a lot different. When I first started out, I mean, you had a lot of stuff going on back then, but these synthetic drugs that we have now, I mean, it's very dangerous out there. I mean, you've got the fentanyl and stuff like that that's pretty much put into a little of every kind of drug that's out there right now. And, you know, those are things that will kill you in a heartbeat. And, you know, I can't stress to people enough. I mean, this stuff in the right hands could really help people, doctors, you know, in situations, surgeries and different things like that. But in the wrong hands, drug dealers and just everyday users and stuff, this stuff will kill you. Not only that, I mean, it's bad. Officers, corrections officers, if they come in contact with it, we've had a couple fall out from it. You hear always officers all across the state, you know, coming in contact with it, and it getting to them. I mean, it can kill you. It really can. But people don't stop and think about that. And those are the things that used to, marijuana, cocaine, meth, any of that stuff, you know, it wouldn't have, in the beginning, wouldn't have had that stuff. But those things now are very viable things that will, yeah. I mean, it's out there, heroin.
These drug dealers are cutting it with anything they can cut it with
to make it
more potent, so you want more of it, get another buck out of it.
Mm-hmm, that's exactly right. But, you know, we're seeing way too many people, you know, dying from this stuff.
Yeah. Bubba and Earl's pharmacy degree.
It's not a very, very good degree. I mean, you don't want somebody doing this stuff out of their garage, basement, whatever. I mean, it's some scary stuff. I mean, the drugs that's out there now, it's nothing to play with.
These people that distribute and sell these drugs, they don't care whether you live or die.
No,
they just want your dollar.
They don't.
And they don't care what they put in it. They may be cutting it with drain cleaner or rat poison or poor grade of fentanyl or something that will kill you quicker than look at you.
But people just don't realize.
Then the people taking these drugs, you know, when the doctor gives you a prescription, it's a pill of, you know, 100 milligrams once a day, whatever. But these drug heads, they don't take it at 100 milligrams once a day.
You don't know what you're taking.
If 100 milligrams once a day make me feel good, 500 milligrams two times a day ought to really make me feel good.
Exactly.
And then 200 milligrams might be what puts you in the grave.
That will be the one that puts you in the grave. And that's the thing about it. You know, we've always said, you know, don't ever start. You know what I mean? Say no to drugs, whatever the case may be. Don't do it, because, you know, that first time may be what gets you addicted. That first time may be what kills you. And people start it. I mean, a lot of times it's over-the-counter, or not over-the-counter, but prescription medication. And a lot of times
that's pain pills that was in the medicine cabinet.
That's it. That's what starts it. And, you know, opioid situation that we're in now with heroin and everything, all these synthetic drugs and stuff, and it's killing people left and right, getting them hooked left and right, and, you know, it's not good, and it's getting worse. It's a national problem.
And these folks selling it, all they want to do is get you on it, because if they get you on it, they know they got you.
That's a continuous paycheck.
And kids are by no way exempt from it. That's a prime target for them, because if they can get a kid to get on a narcotic, then they can get that kid to do anything they want them to do for them, sell it, whatever. And I know that used to be a problem. I guess it is still a problem that some of these folks roping underage kids into doing the distributing for them, so that, you know, they stay out of jail.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know, we'd love for them to stay out, but, you know, the situation, things are getting earlier and earlier now. I mean, with people picking this stuff up, I mean, and, you know, you think it wouldn't be older people, but a lot of older people own a lot of this stuff. And, you know, they're just as susceptible, you know, to die from it as anything. You know, anything you got now, kids, you know, you've been seeing on the news a lot here lately about, you know, the candies and stuff going around with the, you know, CBD gummies or whatever the case may be. There's things in that stuff. These kids are, you know, ingesting it, and you have no clue what's in this stuff. And that's the reason kids are being sick and, you know, having to go to the hospital and everything else. And people just don't realize how serious that can be. If you don't have a clue what's in something, you know, that's what I'm telling my niece and all the kids that I know. Do not take anything from anybody and eat it. I mean, unless it's a family member or somebody that you know very well, do not take it and eat it, because you just don't know nowadays.
Just because somebody brought some brownies to school, you need to try one.
That's exactly right.
You don't know where they got it or who gave it to them or what's in it.
What's in it, exactly.
And even if it was even if it was cooked in grandma's kitchen, you don't know what kind of shape grandma's kitchen's in.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Well, it's a dangerous world out there.
And, it is, and getting more and more dangerous each day that we live, no doubt.
So I guess your job security is going to be pretty good, law enforcement.
Unfortunately, it is. We've never got a shortage of something to do, that is for sure. I mean, it's always going to be something. I mean, you know, like you said, we're tasked. The main job of the sheriff and the sheriff's office is to deal with the jail. Ours is, you know, serve papers, you know, keep order, you know, do all the different things that's handed down by the court system, plus, you know, enforce traffic laws, you know, make arrests and, you know, different things like that. So, you know, we've never got a shortage of nothing to do, that is for sure.
It's probably just serving papers and things on bad checks and et cetera. Just about probably keep your force just about full-time busy just doing that, though.
It is. I mean, we've got a civil division, you know, that keeps up with most of the papers and stuff. You know, very seldom the deputies have to serve papers now. Like when I come along, you know, we had to serve 30, 40 a day, you know. But now we got a civil division that handles that. Some part-time guys that come in and serve stuff. But people just don't realize how much that consumes the department, you know, just getting that done. I mean, because papers are steadily rolling in each and every day.
As it's like in the businesses I'm involved in, the one thing I hate is paperwork. So I'd hate to have to deal with the paperwork have to deal with.
Oh, it's something else. I mean, it's something you can't keep up with. That's what I was saying, I'd hire an arsonist to burn my desk because this paperwork's getting higher in my head now. So I can't stand that. So,
well, John, appreciate you taking time to spend a few minutes with us, and we'll have you back on our town again at some point in time to talk about various things. We appreciate the job that you and your department do. I know you've got some wonderful deputies out there.
We got some great
work real hard, and I know you try to do as much good in the community besides just the law enforcement side. I know you're involved in some community activities on, and you try to be a part of things. Easter Sunday morning, you were down helping with traffic yourself down at the Sunrise Service, and seen you down there several years.
When you short help.
You know, that's one thing about you as sheriff is you're not going to find you sitting behind the desk in the office too often. The most time you're in that vehicle out doing something. Right. I know you've been across the state this week in the state house doing some stuff and kind of trying to keep on, and you've got to handle the administrative job as well as oversee people, and I know you got some good chief deputies to depend on that do a good job.
We do, and it's a lot, and you know that's the part I enjoy, being out, being with the people, you know, just being out there mingling with the community and being out there, you know, if they have problems or something. I always want to be, you know, somebody. I got an open door policy, but you know, if anybody, you know, comes up to me or whatever, I'll be anything I can do to help them with their problems. You know, our office staff, you know, they're great about those things. You know, we've got great elected officials, you know, here in this county. You know, our probate judge, you know, I can't say enough about him. I mean, he does a great job. Glenn McGriff, you know, commissioners, different ones. You know, they all are there and will do anything they can to help somebody. You know, we just got to come, you know, just come out and, you know, talk to them and they'll sit down and talk to you like you're somebody and treat you like you should be treated.
Well, we're blessed in the county that we have a group of people in the law enforcement and in the criminal justice system and the judicial system that work together.
That's exactly right because we can't get nowhere if we don't work together. That's exactly right.
I know we've done some interviews with the probate judge and with the circuit clerk, and so you got some good folks to work with in the
really
county.
Do.
And of course, going up with the new clerk because Glenn's retiring.
I was chewing him out this morning. I said, "You're gonna come here and gonna desert me." He said, "I'm out of here." Man, he's done a great job, and he's going to be sorely missed. I mean, he's been here a mighty long time and has done an outstanding job. And, you know, he's a good friend and a good brother in Christ. And, I can't thank him enough for what he's done for me. He's helped me a lot. He really has.
All right. Well, Our time's just about buzzed on by. It goes by real quick when we get talking. I appreciate you once again taking your time out from your schedule.
Appreciate you having me. Spend a few minutes
with us. And to our listeners, hope maybe you've learned something to kind of stay away from somebody scamming you, and make sure you tell those kids and yourself stay away from drugs, because that's a dead-end street.
So
we appreciate your time, John.
Yes, sir.
And
thank
to our listeners, we certainly appreciate your time for letting us come into your life for this last 30 minutes. Join us again every Friday morning at 8 o'clock right here on WKLF, for Peach Talk. This is Our Town, and the rerun on Sunday afternoons at 5. And you can always go back and listen to any of the episodes of Peach Talk by simply going to peachtalk.live and click on the episode there, and you can find it and listen to it anytime you want to if you want to re-listen. Thank you so much for your time. This is Peach Talk. This is Our Town.